Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Let's go ahead and we're going to look at two passages of scriptures here this morning. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter number 6 and also 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And we're going to be looking at some things about deacons, and primarily is because we the elders had mentioned that we were going to be seeking to have a person serve as a deacon here at our fellowship. And we thought it would be good and helpful for everybody to just kind of understand what a deacon is. And it's kind of interesting. If you ask people, what is a deacon and what do they do, you're going to get a variety of different answers. You're going to get everything from somebody who takes care of all the little things around the building to someone who kind of keeps the pastor in line to you name it. There's a large variety of different things in all of that. And so we want to spend a few moments just going through scripture and seeing what the Bible says about what deacons are and what deacons actually do. We did have a handout here. Does anybody not get one? Kind of follow along. Okay, James, you want to, if you need one, James will bring one to you. Okay, that'd be very helpful. You know, when we consider the history here at Pleasant Ridge, when my wife and I came here, the pastor, Pastor Craig, who had founded the church, he, of course, retired. And when my wife and I came here, they already had a few elders. And I came with the understanding of, hey, listen, if I come here, we are going to have an elder-led congregation, because that's what I believe what Scripture teaches. And so we've worked towards that. But here at Pleasant Ridge, my understanding, there's never been a deacon. They never had somebody that did anything. Pastor Craig kind of did everything. He did everything as far as taking care of all of the financials and, you know, whatever it may be. And we are very grateful for what Pastor Craig had done and as he worked through all of those things. But as we are moving, okay, we're looking at Scripture. We're going to be going into uncharted waters in a little bit as a church, right? And that can be very exciting, but also it can be kind of daunting because we may not really know exactly what to expect, what we're going to do, things like that. But I firmly believe if we keep Jesus as our captain and we allow Him to lead us and guide us through His Word, He's going to safely help us as we go across any type of uncharted waters. So this is what I want you to take away with you this morning. Deacons are servant leaders who help the church to flourish. Deacons are servant leaders who help the church to flourish. So we're going to look at a couple things here about deacons, who they are, and what they do. So before we begin with that, I want to give you some myths about deacons, okay? Some common myths about deacons that sometimes people may think of what a deacon is or what a deacon should be doing. First of all, deacons sometimes believe, people think that they are elders in training or junior elders. Nothing can be farther from the truth. God's Word gives us specifically that there are two offices in the local church, and that is that of elder or overseer or bishop, however you want to put that, and then also deacons. And each one has a specific role. A deacon is not a stepping stone of, okay, we're going to get this person trained and then they're going to become an elder. No. You have elders who do their work, and then you have deacons do their work. And together, they help the church and all of that. So deacons, a myth about that is that deacons are in training or junior elders. Another myth is that deacons are spreadsheet wizards or handymen. A lot of times people think that only a deacon is a person who's really good at spreadsheets and they know how to get things organized and, boy, they're really good with a hammer. They know their way around Home Depot, right? They know what to do, okay? That's not what we find in Scripture at all. Another myth is that deacons are savvy business managers. I've seen it over and over that sometimes many churches will have people be in a leadership position only because it's, oh, hey, they're really good with people. Or, hey, wow, this person really knows how to get things done. That is not the reason why you should have a person be a deacon. Okay? So they are not savvy business managers. Deacons are there to keep the elders humble. Previous church that I came from, there was some deacons there. And the deacons were the guys that kind of worked closely with the pastor. And if the pastor had a great idea, the deacons would say, well, Pastor Bob, I don't think that's such a great idea. We shouldn't be doing that. Right? They were kind of the ones to keep the pastor in line. You know, they were the ones that hired the pastor. They were the ones that fired the pastor, if need be. Right? We don't find that in Scripture. So the whole idea that deacons are there to keep the pastor humble, yeah, that's just a whole myth. Another one is deacons are there to run things. They are the ones that run the programs. They are the ones that make sure everything is running like a fine-oiled machine. No, that's not the purpose of a deacon. Okay? So these are some myths. Maybe you've heard some of these. Maybe some others that maybe you've heard. My grandfather, I learned later on in life that I had a grandfather who was a pastor of a church that we went to there for a while. And then my other grandfather was a deacon in that church. And there was a little bit of squabble between the two of them. And so my grandpa, who was a deacon, ended up leaving that church and started attending another church. Because I remember growing up, I was always like, Grandpa, how come you don't go to the church that we go to? You know, and it was kind of like, well, you know, we go to a different church now. That was kind of the whole idea. But, you know, you kind of learn some of those things about stuff. And people have ideas about deacons. But what I want to do is I want to make sure that we are looking at God's Word, what God's Word says, and then try to help us understand some of those things, what a deacon is, what a deacon does. So let's look here, first of all, what is a deacon? Every Christian is called to be a servant. The word deacon simply means servant. That's what it means. If you look throughout Scripture, you're going to find the word servant, and it's the word for deacon. So every Christian is called to be a servant. Now, we have many people who serve in this church. I mean, just think about it. Think about everything that people do throughout the week, even out here on Sunday. All of us are called to serve. We should be serving. We find in Scripture in Mark 10:45 that Jesus was the ultimate deacon. Listen to what he says here. This is when he was with his 12 disciples. He was in the upper room. Jesus says here, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, deaconed, but to serve, deacon, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And we are called to serve. That's our calling. That's what our lives should be marked by, a life of service as we serve others, right? We should serve others because Christ has served us, right? And we should be living that example out. And so we have many people who serve throughout the week. Some of those things are visible. Some of them are invisible. Some of them are out front. Some of them are behind the scenes. But we have people that serve. And I'm so thankful for that. And so while we are all called to serve one another and to serve, God still makes a distinct office Something that's set apart to say, this is an office of deacon. This is somebody who is to serve in this office. And this office is unique in that it is to help support the ministry of the elders. And you'll see here why here shortly. So what exactly is a deacon? So while everyone should be serving deaconing, there is a distinct office for those that God uses in the church to help support the ministry of the elders. And so here is a simple definition of what a deacon is. They are model servants who excel in being attentive and responsive to tangible needs in the life of the church. So let's look at some scripture here to kind of give us some understanding of this. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 6, and we're going to look at the passage here. This is kind of the go-to passage of deacons, and many people cite this as, okay, this is how deacons started. This is what the deacons were doing in all of that. And it's kind of interesting, too. If you look up the whole thing about deacons, you're only going to find just a handful of passages dealing with the whole idea of the office of deacon. Okay, but Acts chapter number 6 is kind of the classic passage. But let's look at it up here. Okay. Upon first glance of this, okay, it appears that the apostles, as we read through this, it appears that they are dismissing the whole idea of serving. Okay, so let's read it here, Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Now you got to think about this. This is the new church, right? The promises come, the gospel has went out. I mean, in a single day, the Bible tells us that there were 3,000 people added to the church in one day. That's phenomenal, right? This is the gospel at work. This is God blessing, right? God's Spirit is being poured out. So you have the disciples who in that day was numbering 120. So here they go, 120, 3,000. I mean, there's mass explosion, okay? There are people being added to the church daily. Okay, because God's word's going out, the gospel's being preached. And then there's this problem that arises in the church. The disciples were increasing in number. A complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Now think about it. This is the church in Jerusalem, and you have a multicultural church. And you got Hebrews, and you got the Hellenists, and there's a complaint now going on that a certain group is being neglected, and they're not being taken care of, the widows of this certain group. So what happens? Verse 2, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples. All right, guys, 120 of you. All right, let's get together, right? And they said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve deacon tables. That's what they're saying. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. What duty? To deacon, to serve the tables, to take care of this certain situation that was going on. Verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry. The word there is deacon. Of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timnon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them. And notice verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So here you have, now these men are serving, they're deaconing, okay? And what happens? God continues to increase in the church. The disciples continue to multiply. The church is flourishing, in all of that. Now, when we look upon this, we sometimes look at this passage, and upon first glance, we think, okay, here's these apostles, and they're kind of dismissing this complaint. Like, don't bother me with that. Okay? That's not what they're doing. Okay? In fact, they saw it as a way to say, hey, this is serious enough that we got to take care of this because these widows are being neglected. Now, it's not that the apostles could not or did not want to serve, because I believe that they were serving, because they were deaconing, right? They were taking care of everything, but they were getting overwhelmed with all of that, that they were neglecting the ministry of the word and prayer. And they said, this is something that we can pass off onto somebody else that can take care of it. Now, I am a firm believer that no elder should ever be above serving the church, right? I remember a previous church that I was at, pastor that was there, he was going to be leaving. He was actually going to be going and taking another church. So he was kind of using that church as like a stepping stone to a larger ministry. And there was me and another man there that we were assistant pastors there. And there was an evangelist that had come for the week, and he was going to be trading out campers. Funny enough, guess where he went to go get a new RV? Elkhart, Indiana, right? Okay. So he went all the way to Elkhart, Indiana. He came back to Ohio, and he was transferring over all of his stuff. So the pastor there asked us, he says, hey, can you guys help him? Yeah, we'll do it. And I'll never forget it. We were over there helping him. Now, the pastor that was there at the church, I mean, it was kind of a country church. He had never worn like a really fancy suit or fancy swanky shoes or anything like that. But on that day, because he had to start to dress the part, right, because he's going to a larger church, he showed up over there. We're over there working. And he shows up and he goes, hey, guys, how's it going? He's got on these really fancy shoes. He got a really nice dress clothes on. And we're like, oh, just trying to get stuff. And he goes, well, I would help you, but as you can see, I'm kind of dressed like this, so I can't really help you, right? Sorry, that's not a pastor who serves, right? A pastor, elders, they should be able to get in there, get dirty, right? Be with the sheep, right? And actually serve. And so no elder, no pastor is above serving. It should never be above serving, okay? It's just that these apostles were getting so overwhelmed with serving, they needed help. And they said, it's not right for us to neglect the ministry, the deaconing of the word, right? So that way, all we're doing is just serving tables. And so they were trying to help all of this. So the elders here, these apostles here, they weren't neglecting the ministry. They saw it as being vital. Now, I want you to see how vital deacons were in the early church, because one of the roles that we see here in Acts chapter 6, and I think is most overlooked in the life of deacons and the role of how deacons play in the life of a church, is preserving congregational unity. The people in the church were bickering and complaining. There's a complaint that arose. Now, it wasn't just this whole thing of like, excuse me, Apostle Peter, do you think maybe, possibly? No, complaining, bickering, okay? There's probably a lot of biting that was going on amongst the sheep. And so they realized, hey, we're going to appoint somebody to help preserve congregational unity. Now, again, think about this. This is early church, right? Early first century New Testament church, it's comprised multicultural. You have people from different backgrounds. And the whole idea of Jesus dying for our sins was that also that he brought unity, right? That's the whole idea of what Paul says about how Jesus breaks down the wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile, right? And so there was disunity going on in the church, and so they appoint these deacons to help bring congregational unity in all of that. And so when we think of a deacon and actually what a deacon does, he kind of acts almost in a way as a shock absorber, right? One that helps bring congregational unity, to preserve unity in the church. So make no mistake, the apostles did not delegate this problem to others because it wasn't important, but because it was important. That's what they saw. So in choosing these seven men and entrusting them with the tasks that they were given to do by the apostles, we can see that a deacon is a person that takes care of the problem and doesn't make it bigger. These men were not ones who like to stir up drama or create drama. So a deacon is one who keeps the peace. A deacon is one that solves the problem without making it bigger. They don't talk about how, oh, well, how are we going to be, you're right? No, they're ones that make sure things are going to be taken care of. The best deacons then are far more than business managers or handymen. They are believers with fine-tuned conflict radars. They love solutions more than drama and rise to respond in creatively constructive ways to promote the harmony of the whole of the church. Now let's look at another specific text about deacons and who they are here. What a deacon must be. Now here in 1 Timothy, let's turn over there. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul gives some specific qualifications here for those who serve as elders. And then he lists the qualifications for a deacon. Now this list in 1 Timothy is what a deacon must be. He must be these things. So if there are men who are wanting to serve as a deacon, these qualities must be in their life. Now, it may surprise you that in this list, nothing is listed as skills or what they must be able to do. Why? Because God is not concerned with their skills and abilities. God cares more about character than he does than what we can do. Okay? Character is so important. So this easy-to-forget lesson might be that God cares more about character than about gifting. Now, if you look at the list here, requirements, they can be divided up into three groups. You have, first, some negative requirements, okay, some things that must not be in their life. Then you have some positive things. These things must be in their life. And then there are some requirements of their wives. So let's look at a few of these things, okay? Now, over all of those, there's kind of like a banner, okay, that kind of encompasses all of it. And the first one there is that they must be dignified. This has the idea that they are worthy of respect. They must be dignified. Just as elders are to be above reproach, deacons are to be dignified. Deacons are expected to be role models of Christian character and living. This doesn't mean that they must be perfect. Rather, it has the idea of a person whom you would look to in being an example of behavior. Somebody that is a model of Christ-like behavior in what they do, how they live. Okay? And he says, this must be, they must be dignified, worthy of respect. And so, what does it look like practically to be dignified? Well, the passage points to six things, okay? So Paul's going to list the negative first, what a deacon must not be, and all three relate to a particular fruit of the Spirit, which is basically self-control, okay? So first one here, he says they are not to be double-tongued. Not to be double-tongued. What does this mean? Well, deacons are in the business of working with people, okay? They're solving problems, they're working with people. And in that, they are not supposed to be saying one thing to one person and then over here start to say something to somebody different. They're not to be double-tongued. They're supposed to be consistent in their speech. Deacons will always be confronted with sufferers and strugglers, some whom will be disgruntled and prone to complaining. So they're not there to try to be like, well, I'm going to say this to this person to make them happy, but then over here, I'll tell this person something different. Okay? They're consistent. They're consistent. So they're not going to be double-tongued in that. Secondly, they're not to be addicted to much wine. Not only are deacons to be self-controlled in their speech, they're also to be self-controlled in their appetites. Now, Scripture tells us, right, it prohibits the sin of drunkenness, right? So it's not the fact that they can't drink, it's just saying that they are not supposed to be addicted to much wine. They're not supposed to be drinking in excess and being controlled by something else, okay? So they're not supposed to be addicted to much wine. Thirdly, they're not to be greedy for dishonest gain. Qualified deacons will control their speech, their appetites, and also their wallets. They won't be motivated by greed. They will not use people or situations to try to get ahead. They will not be motivated by, ooh, what's in this for me? If I can get so-and-so to do this, right? No, they're not going to be motivated that way. They're not greedy for dishonest gain. And so Paul warns against installing anyone known for being deceptive, cutting moral corners, or obsessing over money. A money-obsessed person is not qualified to serve the church of God. So after listing these three negative ones, okay, here's the positive ones that he lists. Okay, first one, he holds the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. What does this mean? Deacons are not required to teach, elders are. But what does this mean that they hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience? Let me put it very basic to you. They know what the Bible says and they live it. They know what Scripture says and they live it. That's what he's saying. So they hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Then he says they need to be tested and proved. How will a church know if a person is holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience? Well, they must be tested and proved. They have to be tested. They have to be proved. Now, interesting enough, Paul doesn't say the length of time of testing or proving here. He kind of leaves that up to the church to kind of determine that. But there must be an examination of the person's character. Are they these things? Are they actually living these things out? Do they actually live this way? So they need to be tested and proved. Then he lists this one. He says about being faithful family life. He says that the husband of one wife, he manages his children and household well. So Paul's requirement here is that a deacon's godliness extend to his closest relationships, his family. How's his family life? Relationship with his wife, right? How's his relationship with his children? What does his family life say about this person's character, right? Because if he has children, they are a reflection of how he manages his house. And so the apostle could not be clearer. There is no such thing as a qualified deacon who is a lousy husband or dad. So they must be these things. Then Paul's going to give some specifics about the wives of their wives of those who serve as deacons, okay? Here they are. Here's the first one. Notice again, they are to be dignified. Again, worthy of respect. Is that man's wife worthy of respect? Does she live the type of life that is worthy of respect that you would look towards and say, that is a fine Christian woman who loves God, serves God, and follows God? Are they dignified? Then he says they are not to be a slanderer. The word Paul uses here is the same word for devil. Now, he's not saying that they're a devil. Who is the father of lies? The devil. And so he says a deacon's wife is not to be one who is a slanderer. The devil is a slanderer. A slanderer is one who spreads lies, false rumors, malicious gossip, and innuendos in their attempt to tear down, find fault, and vent their anger. This type of behavior is capable of inflicting long-term, irreparable damage on relationships and the relationships of others. And he says, this is the type of person you do not want serving as a deacon if their wife is a slanderer. Then he says they need to be sober-minded. This is a person who is stable, self-controlled, level-headed. I think we all know, for those of us who are married, right? I think we all know the power that a wife has in her husband's life, right? What's the old saying? The husband may be the head, but the wife is the neck, right? A wife has tremendous power and tremendous influence in her husband's life. And he says that a deacon's wife should be level-headed, right? One that is sober-minded and balanced because of her strong influence on her husband. Then he says their wives should be faithful in all things. Faithful here means dependable, reliable, trustworthy. The deacon's wife is to be a completely trustworthy person. Does her life bear those things? Now, these are the requirements. This is what God sets as a standard. Again, he's more concerned about character than he is about their abilities or skills in all of that. So these are things what a deacon must be. Okay, so now here, let's look specifically. What does a deacon do? So we've seen what a deacon should be, but what is a deacon meant to do, right? I mean, if you think about it, like, if God calls all of us to serve, we're all serving, right? I mean, James puts coffee together. James, are you a deacon? You're serving, right? Edie brought over some tasty cinnamon roll stuff today. She's serving, right? Jerry's back there working in the sound booth, right? We have people up here singing worship, playing the piano, doing all kinds of stuff, right? Is the idea there that everybody's a deacon? No, God says this is a specific role, specific office, and they're set apart for this role, okay? So what does it mean? So what does that mean that deacons work, okay? What does a deacon actually do? And if we look at Acts chapter number 6, a person can say, well, deacons' work at that point was, you know, they were caring for the widows and caring for the needs of that church. Yeah, that's true. But does that mean that's only what a deacon does? Interesting enough, you never find in Scripture exactly what God says that deacons are supposed to do. Okay? Instead, we find guidelines in Scripture for the work of deacons because the needs of a church vary from church to church. So here's a more robust definition that we can derive from Acts chapter number 6. Deacons are to identify and meet tangible needs, protect and promote church unity, and serve and support the ministry of the elders. On the broadest level, okay, this idea of identifying and meeting tangible needs, on the broadest level, the work of a deacon encompasses three things in the life of a church: identify and meet tangible needs. So we saw earlier the apostles' response in the brewing conflict in Acts 6 was to lead the congregation in setting apart seven men who could take care of this thing, right? And so deacons are the ones with those radars, and they're looking and they're saying, okay, there is a need here. I see a need here. They identify and they meet those tangible needs. They're looking. And so they identify and meet the tangible needs. Secondly, they are to protect and promote church unity. Just as the seven were tasked to salvage the unity of the Jerusalem church, so deacons today are meant to play as those shock absorbers in the church. Again, this is why you want qualified men, not just anybody will do, right? Men that can actually protect and promote church unity because their character, the type of people that they are, promotes this. They live this type of way. Thirdly, they are to serve and support the ministry of the elders. Now, when we look at Acts 6, we go, okay, those were the apostles, right? The deacons were serving there at the apostles, okay? You move on, okay? All the apostles die. The office of apostleship, right? Gone. What do we have? We have elders. And then we see that, right? Philippians chapter 1, where Paul writes, church at Philippi, and he says to all the saints that are in Christ Jesus, together with the elders and the deacons, right? He's putting those two offices together. We see in 1 Timothy these requirements, right? And so obviously deacons were a valuable, valuable help in the early church, in the New Testament church. Even after, okay, where a church now has elders, the deacons are still a very valuable help in the church. And so they are to serve and support the ministry of the elders. We see this in 1 Timothy 3, right? Paul lists the elders first, then deacons. And so the structure suggests that deacons are both paired with and subordinate to the elders they support. And the relationship between the offices is also implied in other passages such as Philippians 1:1. And so by enabling the elders to stay focused on their teaching and their prayer, right, ministering to the people, right, it allows the church to flourish because you have deacons who are now taking care of tangible things, right, so that the elders are not so encompassed in all of those types of things. Again, not the fact that they can't do them. They can do them, right? It's just that if we spend more time in taking care of all those needs, right, we're going to be left off without actually serving or ministering to the church through the word and through prayer. And so without deacons, elders will suffer incessant distraction and get sacked by an onrush of practical demands. Okay. Let's look at the last thing here about the reward of being a deacon. Deaconing is not for the faint of heart. Much of it is thankless type service. Grunt work, not stage work. But here's a promise, okay? 1 Timothy 3:13. For those who serve well as deacons, this is a promise, they gain a good standing for themselves, and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And so a faithful deacon, Paul says, will receive two gifts in increasing measure. First of all, an honorable standing. This is a good standing. This is respect. A deacon who serves well will gain respect from where? From the congregation. He will gain a good standing for himself. Secondly, he says they will gain great confidence in their faith in Christ. This is boldness. Not boldness in their capabilities, but boldness in what? Their faith in Christ. And so to serve as a deacon is not glamorous, but the rewards, however, are glorious. Okay? And these are things that God promises for those that serve as a deacon. Okay? So I want you to take this morning and think about it. Think about what Scripture says. Think about what Scripture is in all this. And we're asking you as a church, right, to look out, right, be in prayer. Be considering who can serve as a deacon, right? Go through those qualifications. Does this person meet these qualifications, right? You can write their names down on the thing that we have there. And then if you have questions about, you know, deacons, how we're choosing a deacon, all that kind of stuff. You can ask any of us elders in all of that, okay? Let's pray together.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.